Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy Radio Show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini. Here we are saying good morning again.
I know. Amazing what airplane travel does to us.
It's amazing, isn't it? Just a very short time ago, it was good afternoon, and now we're back to good morning.
So here was our assignment. The only people with whom you should try to get even are those who have helped you. What a notion. If we're living in ego's dog-eat-dog world, it would never occur to us to focus on matching love instead of matching hate. However small the slight, the ego seeks some form of vengeance and retribution. There is juice in that process for me, but it always hurts the heart. This is why the Buddha taught, if one speaks or acts with an evil thought, pain follows one as the wheel follows the foot of the ox that draws the wagon. If one speaks or acts with a pure thought, happiness follows one like a shadow that never leaves. Today, through acts of kindness and compassion, attempt to match all that you've received in kindness and compassion. Recording listen.
So lovely.
Well, so here clear. Is our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning. This is Sequoia.
Good morning. Hey, Sequoia.
Hey. Well, I too thought this was just a lovely segment. And I had something happen this morning that gave me another perspective on it. I was waking, and as I was waking, some sensations came up in the body that were unwanted by ego.
Uninvited.
Uninvited. And there was simultaneously, I'll call it a voice. It wasn't a voice, but there was a simultaneous invitation to relax into it. And it was just one of those moments, you know. It's like, wow, and there was the opening of about relaxing into it, and of course, then there was the voices, you know, like, are you crazy? This means da 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 da, and you can't relax into, you know, and I saw in relation to this assignment, it's that invitation from life to relax into it was relaxing into kindness and compassion for what life was offering in that moment, rather than going to that place so commonly known of this should not be happening. You know, in a sense, it's that place of retribution. You know, I'm going to fight this. And,
Well, it means you've done something wrong. You're the wrong person.
Yes.
This shouldn't be happening. And so
all
you can do is try to fight it. And, Only that's not all you can do, is it?
No. Yeah, just really experiencing, you know, how that hurts the heart and hurts the body. And, you know, to be in that kind of oppositional stance.
So rather than relaxing into it.
Yeah, exactly.
So when you talk about that, Sequoia, I think about one of the things my teacher would say about practice, which is this is a debt that can only be repaid with the same coin. So I think what he meant by that is, you know, paying for things is great. So you're going to go on retreat, or you're going to do this, or you're going to do that, and you pay for it. Okay, lovely. That's not it. That's not how we repay the debt that we are owed to practice. The way we do that is in what you're talking about, in choosing that which has been offered to us, that which transformed our lives, right? So choosing that so that now you are available as one of the places where people can see that, in fact, it is possible to end suffering in a lifetime. Yeah. That's repaying the debt.
Yes. It's thrilling, and it is definitely something that one just wants to give back to.
Yes.
And I was just
go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I want to hear what you have to say. I was going to launch on the history of Buddhism. Go ahead.
Well, it's kind of an aside, but I was just saying, even calling in to participate to the show and, you know, get in the queue is another way of, as you were saying, repaying the debt an act of kindness for all that's been given.
Yes. Yeah. Which ties in perfectly with what I was going to launch into, which is a sense of all the people. You know that quote from the Buddha of the ox and the wagon. I mean, we get a sense of how long ago he lived, right? That these are the images that he was using. That's what people were relating to then. And before him, I mean, he was born into a tradition of practice that made that available for him. And that is you call in to the show, you put yourself in the queue, you participate, you show up for a workshop, for a retreat, for virtual meditation, for reflective listening buddies, for whatever it is, that is repaying the debt.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much, Sequoia. Who would have thought when you woke up with these sensations this morning that all of this was going to happen to you and to us as a result of it?
Exactly. It's
beautiful.
And then, you know, you say yes and you get more yes and more yes and more yes. So.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Sequoia.
Thank you, Sequoia. Oh, my God, Sherry, what a wonderful orientation that my practice is the way in which I pay back the debt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, and the no of ego is the retribution to or the vengeance or that thing that stops us from matching the love with the love.
Yes, because ego is selfish.
Yes.
Right? Ego doesn't want to give. Ego isn't grateful. The gratitude wants to give. Ego isn't grateful. And so it's just me, 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 me. And, it's ugly and it's unhappy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Ren from South Florida.
Hello, Ren.
So I'm trying to work on getting speaking from my pure heart in the midst of this hurricane panic. I think the whole world has gone crazy down here.
Yeah. Yes. There, where you are, and in all the places around the world where these terrifying physical dangers are happening to people.
Yes, and every time I'm just trying to live, I'm not being not prepared, I'm very prepared, but I'm thinking about, you know, being here by myself. I have a backup plan. If it gets too bad, I can run down to the neighbors, but conditioning and a whole bunch of people I know are telling me, you can't do that. You can't do that. You can't be alone. You can't this. You can't that. And it's got me so confused. And then I'm like, wait a minute. Let me just listen to my heart and tell me what is best at each step of the way. So
Yes, and Ren,
well,
yes, because, well, that's so perfect, because they're two different things, aren't they? So the voices in our head can often happen outside our head, mm-hmm. as you're experiencing, right? And so the conditioned mind is not unique, is it? It's got the same stories going on for everybody. And so to come back to the heart, what is the best thing for me? The heart is not, when we move in that direction, it's not about where is the best place for me to hide to be safe. That's not the conversation we're having with the heart.
Right.
Right? Where is it? So I had an amazing conversation with someone on the retreat that we were just at in Pennsylvania, who talked about being in a really scary medical place, where it looked for all the world like the information was going to be, okay, you have a matter of months. And that process went on over weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. And what she determined was that she was not going to leave the moment to go to some place that she didn't know about.
Mm-hmm.
And so in each moment, she said she would just come back to, I don't know. Is everything all right now? Yes, everything is all right now. And to stay in the gratitude and the appreciation for that. And she described how all of those weeks could have been a horror for her, for her family, for everybody who knows and cares about her, right? But instead, by making that determination to stay with the heart, to stay in the present, everybody was fine with it,
mm-hmm.
right? And that, to me, is what you're looking at right now, because we don't know what's going to happen. But what we do know is we do not want to go with ego's fear, horror, danger, catastrophe stories, because if we do, that's what we're signing on for the rest of our lives, whether there's a hurricane or not.
Yes, that's really helpful. I feel like, you know, my heart is telling me to just be with life, just breathe, and just make your decision one step at a time. And then I got all the second guessing going on, and I'm trying to say, you know what, second guessing, I don't need you right now. Panicking is
forever.
Not helping.
That's so right. Panicking is not helping. Yes.
I have my meditation cushion here in my bathroom. It's nowhere near the time that the storm's coming, but I'm just getting some good vibes in here. And I'm like, you know, I'm just going to take a minute and call into the show and just, you know, breathe. And it's really helpful to know you guys are out there. So thank you so much.
Oh, well, you are so welcome. We're energetically, we're doing all we can for everybody who is going through what they're going through now. And the thing about it that's so interesting to me is that it's when it affects us that we really start paying attention, right? So it hits Texas. Okay, that's us, right?
Right.
But, you know, this kind of stuff is happening around the world all the time. Then it hits Puerto Rico, and people have to be reminded that Puerto Rico is part of the United States, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or it hits the Dominican Republic, and it's like, well, what's that have to do with us? And when we realize that there's only one us, then our hearts really are with everybody, everywhere, all the time, with whatever is going on in that wish, that hope, that prayer, that however we want to talk about it, that people will choose the well-being of the moment rather than the fear and panic and something wrong of conditioned mind. That's the place that we live in for ourselves and that wish for everyone.
Yeah. And hurricane or no hurricane, you know, the argument that I can't be by myself just doesn't hold water because I'm not by myself.
That's exactly
I'm with
right.
Sangha, I'm with life, and I'm not by
and
myself.
And you got those groovy neighbors.
Yeah. All right. Gesho.
Yeah. Thank you, Ren. Take good care. I know you will. I was just saying that. Yes. Okay. Bye-bye. Bye.
Thank you, Ren. And I'll show you the thing that was dropping in for me that was so powerful about that is the training to live in the moment. We often talk about how if conditioning can get us to refer to the future, then we're missing out now, missing out on the now. And in times
yes.
when we have things like hurricanes or waiting for a diagnosis or something like that, the extent to which we miss life and suffer instead.
Yes.
That
yes.
That without knowing the outcome, we're already having the experience of the outcome that
yes.
is being projected.
Yes. Yes. And often worse than the
yes.
than the actual experience. It, assuming something like that happened.
Yes. Yes.
So true.
Yeah.
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 And, you know, Ashwini, with that, conditioning would say that's morbid, to walk around with an awareness of all of the people who are suffering. One of the things that I've been blessed with a relatively pain-free life. My body just doesn't seem to be drawn to pain. And when I do have pain, I like to think of it as an opportunity to be in solidarity with people who live in pain all the time. And to have a deeper level of compassion for what that's like, how difficult simple things are when you're in intense physical pain, right? So then that deepens my experience of that. So I don't find it morbid to think about, to be consciously aware of the amount of suffering that's happening all over the world all the time, because I want to be conscious of living in gratitude in the present so that what's available energetically is support, not another piece, another point of drainage where the life force that can buoy us is being drained off to feed ego. I don't know if any of that makes any sense, but
well, it did to me, and the part that I wanted to reflect, right, Sherry, that the people avoid thinking of other people, and this is what I heard you say, we avoid thinking of people in pain because it feels like it's depressing or overwhelming. But I think what you're pointing at is from an expanded awareness place of thinking about suffering assists us to live in compassion, actually, rather
yes.
than in
yes.
separation, which is what avoidance of thinking about that brings us to. And
yes.
that place of that when I'm in pain, that makes me alert to what other people are going through, which actually deepens my compassion. And my favorite
yes.
part of that is the Buddhist way is considered the negative way, not this, not this, not because
mm-hmm.
it's pointing us to what it's what
to
is
be
not,
negative,
but what yeah, what, but to what is. I mean, that's what the conditioned focus on negativity causes us to ignore everything that's in awareness. And so if we
yes.
have an expanded awareness, not only are we grateful for everything in life, it also includes the compassion for suffering. And that's a very
yes.
different place than being in that pulling my hair out, feeling overwhelmed and feeling the pain.
Sorry for myself that
and,
people suffer.
Exactly, and making it about me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So thank you, Ashwini. That was helpful. Thank you. I was glad to hear that.
Me too. Thank you. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Bev from Kentucky.
Well,
hi,
hello,
Bev.
I'm just happy to be here. Just as other people often say, everything I hear I can apply, and, you know, it just reinforces that we all are one. We're all on the
mm-hmm.
basically the same
mm-hmm.
journey. So that's just so encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've been looking at lately, in August I had cataract surgery. So for the month of August, because the way it's set up, you have one eye corrected, and then 2 weeks later, You have the other eye corrected. And in the meantime, you have to really limit, you know, you can't do anything real strenuous. You have to be very careful because you've had surgery on your eyes. And so it really changed my whole routine because, you know, everything from my yoga to, you know, just everything. So all, mm-hmm. and I couldn't read. I couldn't sustain activities for too long. And I really found myself scratching my head a lot of times thinking, well, I didn't realize how much of my time I had filled up with doing, how busy I was.
Oh,
with,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I thought, I'm going to sit with this. I'm going to do everything the doctors ask. I'm going to, you know, do a lot of restorative yoga, a lot just, and it was just a lot of practice because I could record and listen. That didn't affect my eyes. So really helped me to see how much my, you know, doing this surgery and when I was so immersed in practice for so long really helped me just see a lot of things, helped a lot of things that we've been talking about become my experience. So it was just a...
Isn't that amazing? I mean, so, you know, a lot of people would say, eye surgery, no, that is not a good time, right? And you remind me of the woman who called in a little while back with a report on her broken arm. How she had basically approached having a broken arm the same way that you approached this. Now, again, eye surgery, broken arm, these are not high points for most people. These are the kinds of things we want to avoid at all costs, right? And what a gift. Because you got to see in the many ways in which you are controlled by conditioning that you had no idea about. You chose you. When it came right down to it, you chose to take care of the human being rather than going with ego's program. Conditioning would have talked you into doing things that would actually have hurt you if it could have, right? Because that's boring, I don't want to, and what about this, and you need to do that, and you need to take care of that, all of those kinds of things. And so you got to see this much broader perspective about how all of this works. What a gift.
Yes, and because I was trying to be present and practice through this, I remember it was the day when we had the thing about you don't need to have a gratitude list. You can just go out and just being present is enough gratitude. I'm not sure if I'm saying, but I was on the back porch one morning. And not all, I mean, I have new eyes. I mean, I can see things I can see everything from the tiniest print to, I mean, that at my age that someone has come up with a system that can correct aging eyes and give you, and I just stood out there one day and thought, this is exactly what that reading today was about. I didn't have to say anything or think anything. I could just literally see so clearly, but then it transfers mm-hmm. into it. Just aside from being able to get this miraculous surgery, you start thinking about, well, all the other things in life that are just a miracle. And it just has opened up for me just a whole new level of just, wow, just being here and looking around is enough. It's just because it's just,
yes.
I mean, so the surgery was just a literal thing that I went through, an actual experience that took me to another level in my practice that helped me to just, that reading became my experience. All I have to do is just stand here and just like, you want to levitate. You're just like, wow. So I'm so thankful for that I had the practice to help me.
Work.
A long time. It doesn't sound very long, but when you really have to alter your life significantly for a month, you learn a lot.
Yes.
If you're practicing, you learn a lot about yourself. So it was a great gift.
Oh, yeah. Well, and
Beth,
what you're saying is so important for all of us, right? If you're practicing, it's a gift. And you come out the other side levitating, right? If you're not practicing, oh, my God. You know, it's a doorway, right? And we could say one, you walk through the doorway, you're in heaven. or you walk through the doorway and you're in hell. It's the same doorway, but it's who walks through it. If conditioned mind walks through it, it's hell. If center presence walks through it, it's heaven. Right? And that's what we have the ability to choose with practice.
And how I saw that it was tough at times, and I was very nervous prior. I mean, these are my eyes, no matter what anybody tells you. I thought, you know, no, I'm going to use my practice tools. And I had to go through some tough days, and it was uncomfortable. 2 weeks I was off balance. I couldn't see out of one eye. And I could, but I kept telling myself, this is the price I have to pay, and now I have this, I have perfect vision. So it's just an example of everything we go through in practice. It's tough sometimes, and it's unknown, but I just have to believe if I stay present and I follow my path, it is okay. It always has been.
It is okay.
And this time I got a beautiful gift in more ways than one. So thank you so much.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Bev. That's wonderful.
And everyone out there, you know, every day I sit and I think the Sangha's out there, you know, that's really comforting to know as well. So, So deep gassho, and just thank you so much.
Thank you, Bev. Gassho to you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Bev. I'm going to try to bring on one more caller, Sherry.
Okay, I'm just going to sit here and grin.
Okay, we've got 3 minutes. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning. It's Jane in Colorado.
Good morning, Jane.
Good morning. Thank you so much. I have been so taken by this call. It's been so supportive. What I've been looking at is a lot of conditioning, and sometimes more frequently than not lately, it's been getting its way with me. So one of the things it told me is that it's bad to put yourself in the queue. Not only what you were saying at the beginning about it being a kind thing and a way to support everyone's practice, it was like you need to give the other people time on the air, and you shouldn't be a hog and keep putting your name in the queue. So I thought, I'm not sure that's true, so I pushed off.
I'm not sure that's true. I think I'll check that out.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's the intuition, huh? Life drops in. Well, you know, maybe that's not the case. Let's find out about that.
Well, you so often talk about, well, let's get to our own experiences. Like, is that really been my experience? Yeah, there's some fear, you know, some excitement, some trepidation, but boy, does it make me pay attention in a different way to the call.
Yes, and you know, Jane, the one thing I want to underline in what you just said is conscious compassionate awareness doesn't do things like call us a hog for wanting to practice. Right?
Thank you.
I mean, that's just one of those. When we hear something calling us names, we can be pretty sure that's not coming from center.
Yes. And Ashwini, when you were talking about the hurricane or waiting for a diagnosis, I thought that's the kind of attention and awareness I do with the call when I'm in the queue.
Yes.
So it's just like, I'm hearing things, and I feel like I've been in a Maytag washing machine.
Right. Well, you're certainly not going to drift off, right? You're not. You don't dare go unconscious.
Right. But I meant with conditioning before the call. So, you know, it's been throwing me around, and I'm just so incredibly grateful for practice and what you said about we're walking through a door, and who walks through is what we want to pay attention to. So thank you so much for being here every morning.
Oh, you're welcome. You know, Jane, on the retreat that we were on, there was a fair amount of conversation about exactly that, about kind of getting caught in conditioning, and once we get caught in it, then we start believing it, and we get unsure, and then we're looking more to it for, and it's, you know, it's got us in the washer of conditioned misery, and and then to stay with it, to follow that still small voice that says, put yourself in the queue. And the voices, of course, come in with, no, don't do that. Don't be a selfish hog. You let other, and you're following that still small voice, and it makes all the difference for us. All of a sudden, we turn that corner, and we realize, ah, okay, I see. I see what that was. Okay, we're back.
We're back.
We're here.
We're back. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Pleasure.
Thank you, Jane.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. So, you know, Sherry, we're at the end of the show, but the thing that dropped into me is there's one experience of being in the washing machine of conditioned mind, but there's also another experience of being in that place of waiting for the diagnosis with such level of attention that you were talking about, that we're so present, we're aware of everything, and it does feel a much more turbulent place than we might perhaps be used to, but it's also the feeling of being alive.
Yes, it's exciting.
Yeah,
you think of John Muir climbing up to the top of the tallest tree in a storm and just riding the top of the tree because it's just so thrilling to be at one with everything that's happening in around us, in us.
And that's it. It's the feeling of being one, that no matter what's going on, I am that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it goes wonderfully with our assignment for today. And here it is. Something we were withholding made us weak until we found it with ourselves. There's a Zen story that tells of two practitioners of Zen, Anchu, who rigidly follows the precepts and eschews intoxicating drinks, while the other, Tanzo, a university professor, who eats when hungry and drinks when thirsty. One day, Tanzo invited Anshu for a drink. Anshu said solemnly, I never drink. Tanzo exclaimed, one who doesn't drink is not human. Anshu was insulted. Are you saying that I'm not human? He asked. If I'm not human, what am I? Tanzo replies, a Buddha. Our identification with ego blinds us to our true nature. Today, pay attention to when you feel weak, and see if you're listening to a conversation in conditioned mind. Record and listen.
Wow. Little muscle testing with life, huh?
Yes, exactly.
All right. Thank you so much, Ishwini. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Sherry. Everyone take
care.
Go happy.